his plan and to his will. In fact, that is the peace where we're well pleased with Allah and Allah is well pleased with us. So dear Muslims, let us seek to be fine-tuned. We don't want to just be on the dial. We don't want to just be near the station. We want to be finely tuned so that we can receive the message that's in the air. The message is here. We want to receive it, though, clearly. So there's no imperfection in the message. Allah says he has perfected the message. So if we're not getting it clearly, there's something wrong with us as receptors. So let us, on this very, very special night, open our hearts and open our minds. As Muslims, we open them both together. We see them being tied together. Let us open our hearts and open our minds so that we can find the proper balance, so that we can stand on the station of Ibrahim, where we'll be upright, justly balanced, and ready to build a house as worthy of supporting the structure, the excellent structure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised up out of the earth. Let us seek to be finely tuned as we listen to the message of the most outstanding leader that we'll ever meet. He is a man that has really transformed not just us, he's transformed really this world. I've been a lot of traveling with him, and especially when you go overseas, you can just see it, that he has been blessed by Allah with the insight that is intended for us to come into as followers of Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the standard. See, we sometimes think that the Prophet is super extraordinary, so much so that we begin to think of him as being unordinary. Well, he's the standard. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the standard for human beings. And in our leader, we have a man that's finely tuned to the leadership of Prophet Muhammad. He's finely tuned. He's a finely tuned follower of Prophet Muhammad. And he's our leader. And we should be proud to say he's our leader. And proud to know that our leader is not too big to come and be with us, and not even too big to go and see our basketball team lose tonight. He really wanted to go see the girls, but I got mixed up on the time of the game. He wanted to see the girls play because I showed him the article and how all these people in the sports world are saying, look at these Muslims. These girls are competing with pants and on and jerseys outside for their modesty and headscarves and everything. And the newspapers, they don't even care that we're losing. They're fasting on top of that. But they're excited about that. That's transforming their thinking. So I showed the man that article, and he said, boy, we got to see them. So I was thinking, I said, well, we catch the last half of the girls and the first half of the boys, and I wanted to make sure the man got plenty of rest because we want him to talk longer than he wants to talk.
Yeah, we... The last time we had him for the night of power, he was so brief. Some of us thought we had missed the night of power. So I told him, I said, you know what, Brother Imam, this is the one time where it doesn't matter how long you talk, because we ain't got nowhere else to go. We're going to be in there. So you talk as long as you want to, and you talk longer than you want to. And so we went and missed the girls' game, and we saw the boys, and the boys were, they were dragging a little bit there, you know. See, we play real good against these Caucasian teams. You know, we don't have, that image doesn't bother us. But I guess that brotherhood bothers us. We were playing Decatur tonight, and that brotherhood sort of bothers us. We couldn't handle that brotherhood. You know, we were looking in the mirror. You know, we saw us in that mirror, so we couldn't knock them off. But I asked when I came in, I said, how did the girls do? And the brother on security said, well, yeah, you don't want to know that. So I called some of the girls over to meet the imam, and I explained to them that the imam really wanted to see that game, but it was my fault. And they said, you know, I found out they lost by about 40 points. They said, yeah, if you all had been here, we probably would have won. I said, yeah, well, we better... It must be opposite for the boys then. Yeah, but these young men and women, they understand that they are doing dawah. It's not just about the score. We want to win now. We want to win. And the boys have a very excellent record, and the girls are coming along. But they understand it's not just about the score. This is dawah. We are performing dawah. And you read in the paper, and they're writing about our games, and we lost, and we get all the ink. We get all the ink is about us, and we lost. I know the other team must really be upset. And we whooped them, they didn't say nothing about us. So this is dawah. So we'd like to present to you and to us as well, to all of us, our leader. And he's so much a part of us that... we just have to remind ourselves, we can't take him for granted. Can't take him for granted. He's special. Imam Wazuddin Muhammad, takbir! Takbir! Takbir!
Well, again, assalamu alaikum. Yes, I was very disappointed that we weren't able to see the girls play this evening. But inshallah, we'll see them at another time. And the young boys, they were playing the number one team. So I think they did very well. They wouldn't be playing the number one team if they weren't very good. And I told Brother Imam, I said, you don't have that many to select from. You know, we have a small number of boys compared to what they have in these other schools, you see. We don't have as many to select from. So given all the facts about the situation, the contest, I think they're super. Yeah. Yes, this is the night of power. Comes on an odd day, not on the even day. And in the Quran, God mentions to us as signs the even and the odd. The even numbers and the odd numbers. And the night of power comes on an odd number, not on an even number. And you know, in the Quran, the very first words of Revelation came to the prophet saying, "Read." And the report that is given to us from the reporters on the prophet's life, they say that the angel pressed the prophet one time, told him to read, and he said he couldn't read. They pressed him again, said he couldn't read. But on the third time, the reading came. The reading came on the third time. So this is on the odd number that the reading came, you see. And Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr, the night of power is better than 1,000 months. Here recently, I was in California, and my former teacher, the teacher that my father got in Chicago, he was of Jordan, I believe. I think that's where his home was, Jordan. And he had moved to the United States and was living there doing business, real estate and some other business. Honorable Elijah Muhammad advertised for a teacher to teach us Arabic in our school, University of Islam in Chicago. So this Arab, he came, said he had read the article, the announcement, asking for someone to teach Arabic. So he came for the job. We had had two other teachers before him. He came, he was a young man compared to one of them. He was young. And he came and he became our teacher. And I saw him in Phoenix, not California, Phoenix, recently. And he was looking very good. I was so happy to see him, looking so good. Looked like to me he had gotten younger, looking very good. So I told him, I said, "You look 10 years younger than you did when I saw you last time." He said, "Yes, I'm doing much better now." And so we got in a conversation. And he mentioned Laylatul Qadr. And he was saying that, commenting on what I had said. He was also at the meeting in Phoenix, and he heard my address. So he was commenting on what I had said at the address, and he said, "You know, it's time for us to come forward with better explanations for the benefit of Muslims today." Now, I'm not quoting him word for word, but I'm giving you what he said, trying to recall it and give it to you as exactly as I possibly can. So he, excuse me, so he said, "You know," he said, "another thing," because he commented on what I had said. Then he said, "You know, it's another thing." He said, "The expression that is translated, the night of power," he said, "most of us have been led to think by the scholars and those who translate that the night of power is talking about the night in which the Quran came, the night of power." He said, "But there is nothing in that surah that says that." And he's right. So he said there could be another explanation, a tafsir, for that. And he explained to me what he had on his mind. And I saw something in what he was saying, But I also saw something in what he was saying that I couldn't quite be comfortable with. And I'm still thinking about it. So that's good, you know, that's what thinking does, you know. Thinking permits us to see things, or to begin trying to see things that we had never tried to see before, you know. And this is the beginning of inquiry in a new area, study, and it may cause some of us to disagree and may bring about argument, but that's the way progress is. That's how progress comes, you know. So anyway, not that I would argue with him. I have a lot of respect for him. I would have a discussion with him. And we are going to have some more discussion, because I'm going to see him. We're going to talk. We're going to have more discussion. But something he said that I think we should, I would say, look at. And that is the possibility that this surah is talking about the beginning of creation itself, how the world was created. It says in the night of power, what will make you know what it is? So obviously this is something that is not known. This was something that was not known, or perhaps is not known. Something that's not known. God says, what will make you know what it is? So that kind of expression in the Quran, we usually, when we see that expression, we know exactly what God wants from us. God wants us to think about that. God wants us to reflect on that, to study it. God wants us to realize that we don't know it yet. This is talking about something that you don't know yet. What will make you know? For you don't know it yet. What will make you know what the light of power is? Then it says the night of power is greater than 1,000 months. Now this is not telling you what the night of power is. This is just telling you that it is valuable, very valuable. This is something that's very valuable. It's like saying what I'm talking about is worth $1,000. I'm not telling you what it is. I'm just telling you how precious it is, or how valuable it is. The night of power is better than 1,000 months. Says, in it descend the spirit, a ruh, the spirit. And this spirit is the Holy Spirit. This spirit is the great spirit, the Holy Spirit. In it descends the spirit and the angels. By permission of their Lord. Now, this is revelation right here. Where have we ever been told that the Holy Spirit had a Lord? Those in the religion at that time of the book, the Christians, they thought the Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Now here is the Allah revealing it, revealing in the Quran, in this surah called the Night of Power, or the Power, Laylatul Qadr, the Night of Power, that this Holy Spirit has a Lord. And not only the Holy Spirit has a Lord, but the angels too, they have a Lord. Allah is their Lord. And they don't do anything except but as he wills that they do it. So it is by his will and his allowing it, his wanting it, that they are doing these things. So it's very clearly saying that the Holy Spirit is not one in a trinity, is not a God or equal with God, And the angels are not God either. The angels were not always, but they have a Lord. If they have a Lord, that means they were not always. Because Lord is one that nourishes something in its help, from its helpless state to its development, to where it should be. That's what a Lord is. The Lord is the nourisher that cares for something and works with it and finds it in its infantile state and then gives it what it needs to bring it to its mature state, its complete state. This is what Lord means. So if the Holy Spirit has a Lord, that means the Holy Spirit was once a thing not developed, and God developed it. And the angels were once elements or things not developed, and God developed them. So right there is revelation. For the religion, Yes. So they descend the night in which the Holy Spirit descend, and the angels, by the permission of their Lord, Rabbihim, their Lord. All of them have the same Lord, Allah, by the permission of their Lord. That's why in the Quran, Allah doesn't say, as the Bible has it, and God said to the angels, let us make man. God said to the angels, I am about to make a man, to make a Khalifa in Adam. And when I have done it, you submit to him. See? You submit to him. Yes. Or make obeisance to him. Such that to him. This is the way it's given in the Quran. Yes. So, this night of power could be referring to the beginning of creation, how creation was made. That in the beginning, everything was like a night darkness, like the Genesis says, in the beginning there was darkness. So this could be another revelation revealing the genesis of creation. There was the night, and then the Holy Spirit descended therein, and the angels, by the permission of their Lord, obeying every command, every command, or following on every command. Yes. Peace it is until the rise of the dawn. Until the rise of the dawn. Now, what is this dawning? Rise of the dawn. Whether this is referring to the genesis of creation or to the beginning of revelation, revelation coming to Muhammad the Prophet, whether it's referring to one or the other, in my opinion, the language is the same. Because for us, the beginning of this creation is the beginning of our understanding, our own perception of it. It has no beginning for us until we start to perceive it. You see? So for me, it may be either. So that's why I said I'm not comfortable, very comfortable with what my professor, old professor, was saying. Because if he's thinking it points only to the creation, the beginning of the creation of the universe, then I can't feel comfortable there, because I know what we want to know and need to know is not so much how this physical world started, But we need to know how it is put together so we can get more benefit from it as scientific-minded people devoted to God. That's what we need. So it doesn't matter whether it began 76 trillion years ago or 5 billion years ago. It doesn't matter. What we need to know is it's nature. It's nature. Now, I'm speaking of nature in scientific language. It's nature. It's nature meaning, what is it? How is it formed? How does it operate? What makes it as it is? What keeps it as it is? What is its purpose here? Etc. Nature refers to the knowledge of the inner reality and the inner working of a thing. That's the nature. The inside reality and the inner workings of a thing. What the Quran calls the batin. The batin. The apparent and the batin. The apparent and the hidden are the unseen. So nature in the scientific sense refers to the unseen existence and workings or operations. We don't see the atom, we don't see neutrons and electrons, we don't see all those things. But the study of matter has brought us to know those things exist, and that matter is held together by those components or those parts, molecular structure, held together because there are neutrons and protons and electrons, and the way they operate together holds matter together. Yeah, so this is what we learn inside us, and that's the hidden of the matter. And it's the hidden of the matter that gives us the greatest knowledge of the matter and gives us also, puts us in a situation to get the greatest benefit of the matter when we know that. So this is what Allah wants us to know, and this is what our souls have been created to know. Our souls and our intellects, our minds have been created to know the nature of things. And I believe that's why the translator translated, and he taught Adam the nature of things. And he taught Adam the nature of things. That's how one Muslim brother from overseas translates it. And he taught Adam the nature of things, not just the names, but he taught Adam the nature of things. Yes. Allah says in the Quran that the merciful taught the Quran and created the human being. Ar-Rahmanu, the merciful, God, Allam al-Quran, taught the Quran. وَخَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ The merciful God taught the Quran and created the human being. Well, what was he teaching? The teaching came before the human being? What was he teaching? The dead human being, and teaching him brought him to life. So this is a more important creation for us, isn't it? Praise be to Allah. And this is the creation that enables us to become creators. Yes, creators, inventors, creators, masters of the sciences, producers of goods and services, etc. Yes, this is what enabled us to become creators. Oh, no one is a creator but God. Read the Quran again. And Allah is the best of creators. That's God's word in the Quran. And Allah is the best of creators. Can't you feel the angels descending? And the Holy Spirit? I do. Yes, I can feel the Holy Spirit and the angels coming down in the darkness by the permission of their Lord. You know, man progresses as his eye opens up. As the lens on this eye opens up to see more and to see clearly. The more his eyes opens and the lens opens to capture more of the world that God created, and he's able to see it and clearly and understand it, the more progress we have. That's why there's no progress until day, right? In the story of creation. Everything, well, nothing happening. It was darkness everywhere. And then the lights came on, and things began to take form, be present, be seen, life, activity, and progress. Yes. And God says, travel through the earth. That means visit areas outside of your area. Travel through the earth. Not where there's nothing but sand. Because he says, and see how he started creation and repeats it. Travel through the earth and see how God began creation and repeats it. Now, you know, that could be understood from just a reflection on civilizations, how they rise and fall, and how new civilizations rise up behind those fallen civilizations. I could understand it that way. Travel through the earth, and that's what you'll see. You'll see the ruins of ancient civilizations, the ruins of this, the ruins of that civilization. And right there, over or upon the ruins, you'll see the late civilization, the new civilization. But Allah wants us to not just see that there are that there is a sign of a civilization once here and it's gone, it's dead, and now here's the living one, here's the present one, and they're not the same. That one's gone. This one is the current one, the living one. Doesn't want us to look, see this. Want us to think about it. How did this ancient one get started? What caused its fall? Now, here's another one that's different. It's not really a new beginning. It's a repetition. Though it looks different, they may think a little different, but civilizations that have risen upon logic, science, study, etc., they don't differ any more than our languages differ. They don't differ any more than our nations differ. What I mean by that, our languages can be tied into one language, human language. And our differences as nations can be tied into one understanding, and that is nations, how nations form. And they all form the same way. The differences are not that big and serious when it comes to the nature of the origins or the beginning of nations. If we study the origin and beginning of one nation, we have the knowledge then to understand the origin and beginning of all nations. Yes. Likewise for civilizations. And it's not, they don't get credit for this. Man can't have civilization by closing his eyes and working with darkness. He has to open his eyes and work with the external reality. Then he can have it. And Allah is the creator of the external reality and him. The subject, both in the actor and in the subject matter. He's the creator of both. Allah, operator and his subject. He's the creator of both. And all the subject or the operator is doing is studying what Allah has created. That's all he's doing. And what works for him is only what Allah has put in his creation. If he gets something that Allah hasn't put in his creation, it doesn't work. So that's why the better perception of the beginning of these great civilizations is to see that God, they see how Allah begins creation and then repeats it. See how he begins creation and then repeats it. And then Allah points us also to our own creation, right? Now we can't see how he began our creation, but we can certainly see how he repeats it. And that's all the knowledge we need to know in order to manage our creation. That's all we need to know. We don't need to know how the first man was formed of dust or of clay or whatever to benefit from this life and make progress. All we need to know is how the life is repeated. So study the sperm, study the ovum, study what happens when they meet together, study the birth of an infant, study its growth and development. Now you have learned how God creates and repeats it, right? You see why the coming of the Quran produced great scientists and brought about the renaissance for the sciences? It's because they were taught to think by the Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, they were taught to think as I'm explaining it to you now. So if, you know, right now, if we didn't have science already well developed in the world, talking like this would begin scientific thinking in us, wouldn't it? It would begin scientific thinking in us, and a school of scientists would be born out of an audience like this. Yes, because we have among you, there are some among you who could be scientists. I'm among you. I could be one, and a very good one. Oh yes, I know I could. But I don't have to be. If you have children, and you can be scientists. I'm just the rain man. And who opened the shutters on the windows, etc. Praise be to Allah. Yeah. see how God began creation and repeats it. Travel through the earth and see these things. Wonderful. Wonderful revelation. The night of power has more to do with the hunger in the soul for understanding, the hunger in the intellect for perception than anything else. Peace it is until the rise of the dawn. Why is the peace? Hatta means just what it says. Until. That means there's a change coming. Until in English means a change. Run until you fall out. Well, we know after until is going to be a change, falling out. So peace it is till the rise of the dawn. That means after the night there's no peace. Do we have this in other religions? Yes, during the Christmas season. What do you get? Holy night, silent night, peace everywhere. So they have that in their religion too, don't they? A night that is the night of peace. Peace it is until the rise of the dawn. Says, and the people, they didn't differ until the clear knowledge came to them. Right? They didn't differ. They didn't argue and dispute with each other before. But only after or when the knowledge, the clear knowledge came to them, then they began to argue. Al-bayyana. When the clear knowledge came to them, then they began to differ with each other. And difference is the end of the peace, right? That's the end of the peace. There ain't peace for now. We arguing with each other. We debating each other. We're differing with each other. We're claiming that my way is better than your way. I'm right and you wrong. Look how agreeable the following of the prophet was. Look how agreeable they were during the early days of his work. But as knowledge was unfolded for them and they began to have some knowledge to stand upon, they start giving their opinions and whatnot and bringing their arguments to him. So and so says this. Will you give us the understanding of this or verify what he's saying for us? Then after he passed, they really got into it. Yes. Yeah. They really got into it. The prophet never heard of a Shiite. And you know what else? Prophet never heard of a Sunni. What, they weren't existent. There are no such people as Shiites and Sunnis. Mm-hmm. Yes, Allahu Akbar. We have promised the hereafter, paradise, etc. But we also promise clear perception. Clear perception. Souls will be at ease because the confusion will be gone. The understanding will be complete and clear. God says that He sent Muhammad as a liberator to teach us purity. Or to purify us and to teach us the book, Quran, to teach us the book and the rational basis or the rules of logic for the book, to purify us and to teach us the book, Al-Kitab, in the Arabic, wal-Hikmah, the rational basis, are the rules of logic for the book. And then God says also that He wants to purify us, or want us to be purified, so that He can complete, fulfill His favor on us, or His blessings on us. He wants to complete His blessings on us. Ni'mah. Ni'mah. To complete His ni'mah. Ni'mah. That's the blessing on us. For the night of fire, the night which the angels descend, and the Holy Spirit upon me, and the angels, the Holy Spirit, a Ruh, the Holy Spirit, and the angels, al-Malaika, al-Malaika. What are these? These are pure beings, aren't they? They are needed
in the process of revelation. The process of revelation requires the Holy Spirit be in it involved, and angels be involved, and then man can be reached with revelation, communication. And these are pure beings. They come from high up where there is no impurity. Now, it's a sign that the impurities are down here, and the higher you go, the more you get into pure air. Allah is working on us. Allah has selected us for Himself. And Allah is working on us. And Allah wants us purified. Purified. Allah wants us to love righteousness. Allah wants us to love cleanliness. Allah wants us to love decency. So that He may complete His favor on us. So that He may complete His blessings on us. The blessings He wants to complete needs us first to become clean and decent in our hearts and in our souls and in our minds. We got the potential, we got the rational potential, we got the intellectual potential, but that's not the state that Allah will bless unless it has decency, cleanliness, desire for righteousness, desire for cleanliness, desire for decency. So He gives us revelation that before it reaches our intellect, it already touches our hearts, and it wants us to be more decent before our Lord. It wants us to be cleaner before our Lord. It wants us to be more truthful before our Lord. It begins to work on us to put us in a cleaner state, in a more decent state, in a more sincere state, before even the intellect comes in contact with the great rational message for the future progress of the people on this earth. Yes? You know, when the body wakes up in the morning, the eyes open up. You know, the feet don't try to get out of the bed before the eyes open up. And Allah is blessing us with leaders who loves righteousness, who love decency, who love truthfulness, who love sincerity. Allah is blessing us with such leaders, males and females. And these are going to be the ones to take us into the promised land. The promised land for our intellect. The promised land for our intellect. So that we will have thinkers and scholars and scientists born among us who will get the attention of the literate world, just like those got the attention of the literate world in the time of our prophet
from hearing the Quran explained and taught by him.
Yes.
Are you referring to yourself? No, I said we will have leaders, not just myself. I'm just one. We will have leaders that Allah blessed his blessing because of their sincerity, because of their desire for righteousness and decency, uprightness and cleanliness, etc. Say he will purify them and teach them the book and the wisdom, or the rules of logic for the book, which will make them wise and give birth to scientists. Yes. Now going back to the interpretation of the Night of Power as the Muslim era or the Muslim age, reading on the Genesis, the beginning of creation. And understanding that the agents of God, the Holy Spirit and the angels, were really pure beings. And they must descend first, and then the revelation comes. And then the dawn, the day, the dawning. A day with the Lord is as a thousand with you. It's the scripture, isn't it? Before scripture, old scripture. A day with the Lord is as a thousand with you. So here comes the day. The day, the dawning of the intellect. The dawning of the intellect. And when this dawning starts happening for the intellect, then the same thing happens in the garden. The same thing happens for the world that happens for the garden. Say, God created the man, he put him in the garden, and then he charged him to do what? Dress the garden. Dress the garden. So these ones who love righteousness and purity, they will be awakened, their intellects will be awakened, and they will see themselves standing in the garden of their own souls. Yes. And they will get the message from God, dress the garden. And the Lord that revealed the word of the Quran to awaken our intellect, to turn us on to scientific inquiry as well as to obedience as servant, but to scientific inquiry, same God will have us pretty soon dressed in the garden. Say, these soul brothers, they'll have their souls dressed up with clothes manufactured by them, with homes developed, built by them, with factories established by them, with streets paved by them. Now this is dressing the garden. This is dressing the garden. My soul is here, but it needs dress. So you can see me in my dress. That's where I want to see a soul brother. I want to see a soul brother in a skyscraper that he put up. Yeah. I want to see a soul brother in a cement factory that he's operating. Automobile factory that he's responsible for. Etc. Wouldn't that be dressed in the soul brother? He'd be dressed up then, wouldn't he? Lord have mercy. But now, if I'm reading God's word correctly, there's a formula for it. And you can't get that until you get the first. And the first is to want to be righteous, want to be decent, to accept purity in your life. Praise be to Allah. The night of power. The night of power. This is translated power. But that power is potential. Potential. That's potential for the work. God created our life with the potential for the great work. Now, what will free that potential? What will awaken it? What will give it expression? What will release it into the world so that it can cultivate the world, produce? Following that formula, accept purity. Accept that your Lord, accept your Lord like the Holy Spirit accepts his Lord. He accepts his Lord by strictly obeying him. Accept your Lord the way the angels accept their Lord, by strictly obeying him. In the night. In the night. And that obedience will turn the day on for you. Praise be to Allah. Now that might sound simple and ordinary to you, but that's what creates the world. That's what generates worlds. That's how worlds are born. That's the explanation for the beginning of creation and the repeating of creation. Yes. And you who got intelligence and you are respecting what I've been saying, you are standing on solid foundation, and it's just a matter of time before the world will be in your hands. If not in your generation, you pass it on to your children. It's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. It got into me. Look what it has done for me. I didn't know. If I had known that things would happen to me that have happened to me in these late years, I would have, somebody had told me, I would have laughed. Just like Sarah laughed. Peace be upon her. When she was told that she was going to give a birth to a child in her old age, she laughed. Because it was ridiculous to her and her situation and her circumstances. Well, in my situation, in my circumstances, as a teenager, as a young man, as a man 40 years old, I'm the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If I had been told these things, I would have laughed. I said, "You all stretching it too much." Ridiculous. Impossible, you know? But it has happened in this day and time. Just recently, I sat with a bishop, Catholic bishop, in dialogue. And I felt as comfortable sitting with him, discussing deep knowledge with him, understanding where he was coming from. And he knew it. There was just common knowledge between us. He's discussing it from his point of view and from his knowledge base, and I'm discussing it from my point of view, or from my knowledge base and my point of view. And we are just relaxing, enjoying it so relaxedly. The newspaper the next day carried it in the paper. His face in my, naturally it was a Catholic town, Catholic influence town, so naturally his face was above mine. But that was okay.
And they were saying that these two representatives of the two great religions, they discussed differences and showed similarities in differences. The similarities in the differences. So because he was informed, I'm informed, we were able to take what seems to have been differences between us and present those differences as not being differences, but similarities. The similarity was so strong, it dispelled the differences, caused the differences to disappear. I mean deep stuff. Deep stuff, deep as you want to go. Anybody would want to go. This is what we were discussing. And we were on college campus, the University of La Crosse, in the vicinity of the University of La Crosse, among heavyweights. And they come up and greet your little imam like he's the scientist of the age. I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating anything. That's the way they come up and greet your imam. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank me for my wisdom. Somebody had told me 20 years ago. 40 years ago. Mr. Wallace. Say in 1996, you're going to be on the campus of La Crosse University, on the campus of this college, and you're going to be in a dialogue with bishops. Chancellor of the university. He wasn't only a bishop, he was a chancellor. You're going to be in dialogue with the chancellor, bishop, Catholic. And when you finish the dialogue, they're going to thank you for your wisdom. That's ridiculous. Now, I have over here among my soul brothers, I have those that they hear me talk and they, something said great about me, they laugh. They can't understand it. Yeah. And when they say, you all tell them that the imam is the imam, they think of some other imam, not me. Well, how come the imam won't be like that imam, you know? How come the imam not teaching Islam like that imam, you know? He'd be wondering if I qualify for that title. Well, Allah blessed me to go to Palestine and talk on Palestine radio. And the radio announcer says, he asked me first, how should he refer to me? I said, well, they call me Imam Muhammad. So when he finished, he said, he's more than an imam, he's a leader for the people. Now, you know, for us, the imam is the leader for the people. But when we look at these imams that are popular in the world today, we need a leader for the people, not just an ordinary imam. Allahu Akbar. So, you know, I don't need this. I'm telling you these things and hope that you'll understand better. That's why I'm telling you these things. Allah is my witness. I don't need to be seen. I don't need to be recognized, anything. I don't need that. I guess that's why Allah has blessed me with what he has blessed me with. Because I don't need it. I don't need the fame. I don't need recognition. I don't need nobody to tell me I'm great. I don't need that. Back. I don't want you saying it.
I'm not saying it. I'm saying, I told you what they say and how they act. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm just me. That's all. Just Madison Dean Muhammad, W. Dean Muhammad, regular fella, regular brother, down to earth brother. I don't need any flattery. Don't need a special crown to wear. Don't need to show my bald head. I might be a little vain, and I thought I was cute in this cap, so I've been trying. But I can do without it. Yeah. And that's how I want us to be. And when we humble ourselves, God lifts us up. Yeah. Praise be to Allah. So it's been a special blessing for me to be among you tonight here in Atlanta. And I hope what I discussed with you have helped you in some way. We pray to God that He always keep us as Muslims, as believers. Yeah? Muslim is more important than a believer when Muslim identifies us in the following of Muhammad. But believer is more important for the contents of the person, believer, is more important for the contents than just the term Muslim. That's why Allah says, and the believers shall be victorious. He didn't say the Muslims. He said, and the believers shall be victorious. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And the believers shall be victorious. They shall triumph. So we pray to Allah for guidance always, for mercy, forgiveness when we are wrong, for mercy and for guidance always. Ameen. So if I don't see you anymore before the Eid, Eid Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum.
Praise be to Allah. Night of power. Yes. Only the imam can bring it like that. Praise be to Allah. Brothers and sisters, we're gonna pause for a while, take a few more minutes break. You can make extra prayers. I think Sister B and the February group have food out there. Pretty soon they're gonna transform from the collard greens to the grits, I hope. I tried to tell Sister B, I said, I don't know, collard greens and night of power, I'm not sure they go together. But I'm looking forward to getting those grits and some fish sausages and turkey sausages on the grill there. But inshallah, we'll take a little break and we'll come back and continue our program. May Allah reward us with the insight, the deeper insight of the night of power, and bless us to have the angels and the spirits to descend, and for us to be as obedient as they are. So let us pause.
Allah.